WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The good news is, I'm in remission, y'all. So with that being said, the big dog is back! Before I go, I'm going to say it probably a whole bunch more times, but I'm going to say it one last time. Thank you so much, y'all. I love y'all.
The big dog is back. The big dog is healthy. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by Greg Dunnett and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sirach, and that's Lindsay Ward.
Yep, excellent news, which I think we were all anticipating when they announced that Roman Reigns was coming back to Raw to make an update, but it's always wonderful to get the confirmation. So after a short battle with cancer, Roman Reigns is in remission. He's on his way to be fully healthy. I don't know if he's 100% there, but he looked excellent tonight. He sounded great. He sounded strong, and he's back and ready to do business, and it's a nice sight to see him back.
Yes. And he was the biggest babyface of all babyfaces. Slapping high fives with all the fans, giving kisses to the kids, you know, all of it. Hugging babies, all that stuff. The most personality he's ever shown, which is great. You saw the real human being. Like, that's the Roman Reigns you want to support and cheer, and that was awesome to see.
If that's the Roman Reigns we get every week, I am behind that 110%. I'm completely behind that. But, I mean, you can't boo a man that just beat cancer. Like, you just can't boo that. I'm sorry, you can't. But also, it's like, I was sitting there watching it, and the second that he's like, I'm in remission, y'all, and the whole crowd explodes. It's like, God, I wish every cancer patient could have that they have that moment of, I'm in remission, and like, 10,000 people erupt in cheers and, you know, celebration because they're going to be okay. Like, I really wish all cancer patients could have that because that would be incredible. So I'm glad he got to have that moment, and we saw him hugging his mom and just a really joyous celebration. We also saw the reunion of Roman and Seth, who was all smiles welcoming his friend home.
More on them in a bit.
Yes.
Going through some of the matches that happened on Raw, Aleister Black and Ricochet defeated the tag team champions in 2 minutes of TV time, The Revival. I mean, putting on really great matches with Gable and Rude to not even getting an entrance. Not their night. Not their night.
Not their night.
Not their night. Could it be? Okay, throwing this out there. Last week, Gargano and Ciampa beat them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet and Black beat them tonight.
Three-way?
Could we see a three-way at Fastlane?
We could. It's entirely possible. I wouldn't complain.
So, sort of mentioning that. So, we had Charlie interviewing Baron Corbin. She was pressuring him about things he said about Roman Reigns. And he said, Corbin basically said, he hopes that their paths don't cross, basically. Again, nice little teaser for what's to come. Elias was interrupted by Lacey Evans, who was then interrupted by Dean Ambrose. He came
y'all,
out. Go ahead.
Before we go there, yeah, they have got to find something for Lacey Evans to do other than having her walking out. You're making her into a joke. She's badass. Please. I mean, I understand she's not the best wrestler and some people don't like her for her wrestling quality, but just her backstory is badass. The chick is a Marine. She's a former Marine. I think she was one of the only women in her unit, and I think in her field, I believe, before she left military service. For the love of God, find this woman something to do. Aside from just sashaying around in pretty hats and dresses. I understand that's her gimmick, but just find her people to beat up, please. Thank you.
Pretty much. So, Dean Ambrose came out. He went through a bunch of songs and then brought up Dirty Deeds, which he ended up giving to Elias. Before that, he issued a challenge to Drew McIntyre for a no DQ match. So, you know, we'll get that. Elias also took a shot at the Falcons.
Which, okay, alright. So, you know, we're great at hosting Super Bowls, but we're not great at winning Super Bowls. The crowd boos thunderously. Y'all, anybody from Atlanta that was at that show or is within the sound of my voice, don't boo, alright? Dude was just pointing out really cold, hard facts. We can get to the big game. We can get to the Super Bowl. We can get to the World Series. We can get to the NBA Finals. Not really, no, because our basketball team will never be that good. But 2 out of 3, we can get there. And we blow it. Every time. Every time. The only time the Braves ever managed it was in 94? 96, somewhere in there. That was the last time the Atlanta Braves won a World Series. I think it was the only time the Atlanta Braves have won a World Series. The Yankees can win 6 billion of them. The Braves have won. Falcons have never won a Super Bowl. We've made it a couple times. Never won a Super Bowl. Ever. We are fantastic at getting at the end of game and just choking. Like the whole Charlie Brown trip fall face plant choke moment. That is our speciality. It is what we do in this town. Don't boo Elias because he's pointing it out. Our soccer team is good, by the way. They actually won a championship, so go them. But
doesn't count.
It doesn't count. The football team and the baseball team and the basketball team? Nah, man. No. He's right. He's absolutely right. Y'all just don't be in denial about it, okay? Just don't. It's hard being an Atlanta sports fan. You just have to be very realistic about it, and then you're fine. Go, team.
Ronda Rousey and Natalya took on Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan. Good matchup. Ended in DQ when out came Becky Lynch. Hobbling with a crutch, came to the ringside, waylays on Natalya. Lynch and Ronda get pulled apart, and then Becky Lynch gets dragged up the stage in handcuffs, screaming, "I need these hands to hold up the Raw Women's title." Died laughing at that.
Bless her so much. Okay, so I want to talk about this first part of this.
Go ahead.
First, the match itself was fine. The match doesn't mean anything, really.
It was good. It was
this fine. Part was fantastic. Hold the on. Two smartest men.
Hold on. Sarah Logan looked really good. Continue.
Sarah Logan did look really good. The two smartest men in that entire building are the two security guards who saw Ronda and Becky go at each other, and they backed up. Like, they just kept backing up away from them as they're fighting. And the refs are, like, jumping in the middle of this, trying to stop them. They're like, nope, 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 not getting in the middle of that. They have issues they clearly need to resolve. I'm just going to stand by and let this happen. Like, two smartest men in that entire building right there, because Rhonda took out security guards. Becky took out security guards. We had referees. We had backstage agents. We had Jamie Noble, Fit Finley. Adam Pearce almost got decked by Ronda Rousey. Thank goodness that didn't happen. But yeah, this was a pour out. Those security guards come out. They subdue Becky Lynch. They drag her out. The police show up. They handcuff her. And I'm like, please don't take her to Fulton County Jail. Bad things will happen if she goes there. Please don't take her there. But yeah, this was great. This was absolutely fantastic. Loved everything about this. They are booking this angle so right. So right.
And then it got even better. So, Ronda Rousey comes back out and she's very fuming. Fuming. She demands Vince McMahon come out, but she gets Stephanie instead. She says she's fed up. She's at her wit's end with Becky. She wants the problems to be over with. She wants, basically, Becky Lynch reinstated. Ronda was like, Steph, you and your family just drop the charges, bring her back, make her the opponent, let's go. Stephanie's like, no, Charlotte's your opponent. Fans did not like this. You said she's unprofessional. She's like, Becky Lynch did this to Becky Lynch. Instead of being on the road to WrestleMania, she's on the road to jail. Rousey's like, you're all about
It's some BS.
You know, you're all about doing what's best for business, right? Best for business? She said this is the match that she wants and the fans want. Rousey mentioned facing Charlotte and making a triple threat. Rousey told Stephanie, think of what this means to her legacy and to her three daughters. Going for the family. And then she says, I'm sorry, Rhonda. The answer is a hard no. Rousey stops Stephanie from leaving, demanded she reinstate her, and then Stephanie gets in her mean girl voice and talks about how I'm the boss and her father was right that Becky and Rhonda have bad attitudes and think they're above WWE. Rousey's like, you don't control me. I'm not like everyone else that you just give enough that they have to come back. I'm set for life. I don't need this. She says she's not Steph's worker. She is the Raw Women's Champion and will carry it as long as she faces the best of the best. Rousey said if she defends against the Chosen, then it's just a belt and an accessory that isn't even her style. Rousey said Vince likes to say he makes the tough decisions, now needs to make the right decision. And she lays the belt at Stephanie's feet. Perfect.
This was so incredibly powerful, and I love that they had Rhonda bring up the fact that she doesn't need this job. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need this title. She doesn't need WWE. Unlike mm-hmm. everybody else, more or less, that works for that company, she doesn't need it. She could leave tomorrow and go on and have a very successful acting career and be completely fine. She's doing this because she wants to do it, because it's fun for her to do it. She more than paid her dues in WCW, or I should say not WCW, UFC. She's in UFC, sorry, I'm a little tired.
And there's been a lot of WCW mentions tonight, so it's why it's in your head.
Yeah, there were a lot of WCW mentions tonight. But she's earned her stripes in UFC, she paid her dues, she fought her way up to where she is. And they offered her a job because she was a WWE fan, because she showed an interest in working for them, and they brought her in. And she could walk away from her contract tomorrow, and she could fight it. She could have the money to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. So this was a really powerful reminder that while Steph is like, well, you believe you are above WWE, in some cases, Rhonda is. Because Rhonda just isn't anybody. Rhonda is Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
In the same instance that Brock is Brock, Taker is Taker, and so on down the line. It's like when you have achieved that level of fame and success that she's at, the rules don't necessarily apply the same way that they do for someone else. I hate saying that, but that's the perceived notion.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhonda understands this, and Rhonda knows this. It's like, look, because to her, it's like, in a lot of people's cases, it's like, what's the worst you can do? You know, it's like, oh God, they're going to fire me. Oh God, that's the worst thing that could ever happen is that I could get fired. And Rhonda's whole attitude is, what's the worst thing you can do? Fire me? Go ahead. Do it. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
She got them, essentially, or helped to get them, a multi-billion dollar TV deal. just on her name alone. You gonna kiss that off? I don't think so. So this was a very, very powerful segment, and I loved how they did this.
You saw Hunter and Steph flustered after the break. Jinder Mahal issued an open challenge to anyone in the back. Out came Kurt Angle. He beat him in 3 minutes. I was so worried that Kurt Angle was going to lose to Jinder Mahal.
We would all been like, no!
So we continue on. So it's time for a moment of bliss with Alexa Bliss and her guest Finn Bálor. She wanted to see his abs, and then she was about to show him something, but Leo Rush came out.
I would like to thank Alexa Bliss on behalf of the entire Finn Bálor Thirst Party. She shot that shot for us, and we're all entirely appreciative of that. Thank you very much.
So she's out there, and then Leo Rush comes out, and he's talking about this is a sham, and that Bálor doesn't deserve to be an Intercontinental Champion, since that Lashley wants to tell us that. Then he knows where, Bálor said if Lashley wants to tell him, he knows where to find him. Rush said Lashley was preparing for Braun Strowman. Rush said he wasn't leaving without the IC title, which Bálor then thought of, well, you want a shot? Like, basically, Baylor's like, yeah, I accept your challenge. And Rush was like, no. And they, Alexa challenged his manhood, and, well, the match was on.
Hey!
So it was Finn Bálor, Leo Rush, really good match. Finn Bálor retained the title. Good match.
Mm-hmm. Very good match.
We had a segment with the Ascension and Heavy Machinery, and Heavy Machinery ran over the Ascension. That was what it was. So there's that. Strowman and Lashley. Lashley was mad at Leo, and then Strowman and Lashley were supposed to have a match that never really happened, so it was a segment that really wasn't a segment. It's just setting things up, basically. We continue the slow burn with Seth Rollins and how he's going to walk out the Universal Champion, so we're just wasting time at this point, because there really is not much to build on it. We already know the match. But he's glad his brother is back. You know, Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
We get Drew McIntyre, Dean Ambrose, in a no-DQ match. Good match. Elias came out, interrupted, allowed McIntyre to get the win. After the match, Corbin and Lashley came to the ring, along with Elias. They're all putting the boots to Dean Ambrose. When Seth Rollins' music plays and he comes out with a chair, and then followed by Roman Reigns. And Rollins hits Corbin with a chair. Reigns is out there super punching Lashley and Elias, and Elias takes a stomp, and then Reigns hits a spear on Drew McIntyre. Rollins and Reigns celebrate, and they look back at Dean Ambrose in the ring, and Dean's getting up on his knees looking at them. We all know what is coming.
This was good.
They're getting back on track. It was good. It was really good.
They're, I think, essentially picking back up where they left off, more or less, which is fine. So we'll see if, you know, the boys can sort of, you know, get past Dean's moodiness and his little fit there for a minute and move on. I don't know how else to describe it, where just Dean Ambrose lost his mind for a minute and just had a really bad attitude. But, I mean, to be fair, they could have asked him what he was so pissed off about. It's not like it wasn't painfully obvious that Dean was just, you know, running around angry all the time. It's like,
let
you think somebody.
Times roll.
Heartland Media, thank you for following. Continue.
Hi, thank you. So the fact that nobody asked if he was okay is a little concerning. Like, I know it's WWE and everything, but it's like, you think after dealing with Dean for months on end that either Roman or Seth would have noticed, hey, he's kind of pissed off all the time. Maybe we should find out why. I don't know. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a thought. So, it feels like we're getting some sort of 6-man, maybe an 8-man tag at Fastlane.
I'm fine with this.
That maybe it's the Shield reunites along with Braun Strowman to take on Corbin and Lashley and Elias and McIntyre.
I think they're going to do the Shield one more time before Ambrose goes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a thing. Unless the whole Ambrose leaving thing is a hoax and maybe he's staying, but I just get this hunch. They're going to do it, especially now that Roman is back, one more time, just for old time's sake, and go with it from there and figure it out after Dean leaves. But that's just the sense that I'm getting, especially since Roman is just coming back. He's probably not fully ready to be in one-on-one matches just yet. So to have Dean and Seth there to sort of help him out, I think is a good call. It's a natural fit. It's an easy tag team to put him back into. They all work together extremely well, and they can kind of cover for each other when they need to. So they can sort of help Roman cover up any ring rust that he may still have, any sort of fatigue he may still have, because, like I said, I'm sure he's been in remission, I would guess, for a little bit, because he looked in fantastic shape tonight, but then again, I don't think he ever went out of shape.
No, the one thing he needs to get back is his cardio, and that's the one thing you really can't, will take a lot out of him, is the cardio. So that's what he has to work back up on. Putting him in the ring, 6-man tag, 8-man tag, just to get the ball rolling and get him on the show and everything like that. He looked good. He got some height. He looked healthy. He was able to physically do everything he's known to do. It was fine for him tonight. It was cool to see him back there doing it all and everything like that. They're teasing a Shield reunion. It's like, the one thing you saw about this show, go with the Ronda stuff, right? They left a question up in the air. With this one, they're leaving a question up in the air. Means you need something next week to tune into, which was good, which is smart booking on their part. And just for people's sake, this was asked in the chat room, they've done the Shield reunion these 4 times. It's getting old. Dean's leaving it in April. If you want to send it out right, because you won't be able to hit that button anymore, you do it one last time on the way out. Also, this is all Roman's decision to come back at this point. He made this call. This was not a WWE call. He went to Vince and said, I'm ready. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get many more chances after this. I'm completely in agreement. I feel it is old. But there's not a lot else that you can do because, again, Roman went out in November, somewhere in there.
October,
so they've sort of written the storylines without him being involved, and now they have to rework him back into the product. The easiest way to do that, since Seth and Dean really aren't doing anything right now, and you're pointing at Mania, is to just bring the Shield together one more time and give everybody that nostalgia one more time, because Dean is leaving. I mean, it's been announced, it's all but been confirmed, unless they somehow convince him to sign a deal at the last minute where he doesn't go. This is probably going to be the last time we see it for a long while, if ever, because there's a chance Dean probably doesn't come back to WWE. So this is kind of going to be
it
for him and them for a while. Now you'll see Seth and Roman continue on.
And you never know. Dean may, after the match, challenge Roman to a fight at WrestleMania. You never know. We'll see. Bayley beat Nia Jax. Solid match.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing throughout the night, the Ric Flair birthday celebration. He's 70 years old. 70. Whew, that's
he had
old.
A cake.
They had a cake and everything. So
yeah, and we all know the standard etiquette of cakes in the wrestling ring.
We'll get to that. So you have everyone on the stage.
Bray Wyatt.
Except for Bray Wyatt. He's still missing. We don't know where he is. We hope he's back soon.
He Instagrammed, so we know he's okay.
Good. So Hunter and Steph come out. They talk up how things are going. And the road to WrestleMania is big. We're all on the road to WrestleMania. You see big things like Roman Reigns coming back and Ronda laying down the championship and then Becky going to jail. We're here, all pals in comparison, because we're here for the 70th birthday celebration. The man he considers to be the greatest sports entertainer of all the times. And then Stephanie's like, this wouldn't be a party without the special guest. She brings out the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, who we saw backstage at one point. We had Ricky Steamboat, who we saw backstage. Kurt Angle, who wrestled. And the man they call Sting.
Sting was a surprise.
Sting was a surprise. Big build up. Hunter's building up Flair. We get a video package for Flair. It's like, where is this going? Where is this going? Are we getting an overrun? Is this what's happening? Because then we know to cut him. And then we go for Ric Flair. We're waiting. I should mention that he got him a custom-made championship belt for Flair with all his title reigns on the sides. And then we're waiting, and then camera cuts backstage. You see Dave Bautista dragging a cameraman around. He goes into Ric Flair's dressing room, slams the door shut, opens it back up, and drags the body of Ric Flair out of the room. He goes, Hunter, do I have your attention now? Hunter runs backstage frantic. Finley and Noble and trainers go checking on Flair. They're calling for a doctor. And we go to black.
You know, I'm pretty sure you could just send Hunter a text, maybe even call him, and that would get his attention equally as well as beating up a 70-year-old man. But, you know, hey, it's wrestling. Why the hell not? It was cool to see Batista back. It looks like the match is going to be on between Hunter and Batista, although I'm seeing a lot of people out there on the social medias talking about Charlotte versus Batista at WrestleMania. What? Which, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't complain about it. I wouldn't mind seeing her beat up Dave Batista. It would probably be very entertaining, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, we're going to build to Hunter and Batista, so they got that secure. This has been in the works for a while now, and, you know, this has been planned out. So they've been teasing, what, this angle for 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so they probably had it a couple weeks before then, so this deal's been in the works. Once Hunter got the clear from the doctors, they went all in.
But there was cake.
There was cake. So you wonder about the cake, right?
There was cake, and nobody went through the cake. I'm very disappointed. Like, wrestling etiquette dictates if there is food in the ring, somebody goes face first into it. It's like the Spanish announce table. You know, rules of etiquette dictate you use the Spanish announce table first. That's how this works. Nobody went through a cake. I'm really disappointed.
Well, after the show.
Well, after the show doesn't count. Nobody saw it.
Well, you would have saw it if you went to the show.
No, because I probably would have left.
So after the show, to get to sum up what happened to the cake. So, Jinder Mahal came out, talked some trash, ate a super kick, ate an angle slam right into the cake.
Okay, alright. Rules of etiquette have been satisfied.
So, coming out of this show, we have now a cliffhanger with Batista and Hunter. So Batista's back. Probably won't be on TV every week, but we've set the plan in motion. We now have the Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair thing, where is Ronda still even the champion? We'll have to get that question answered next week. And then you have the whole Shield thing with Dean Ambrose and Roman and Seth and what that all means. We have three things to look forward to next week on Raw. Imagine that. Cliffhangers. Reasons to tune in next week.
I'm very, very, very proud that they did cliffhangers and they did it like this. Like, this was a much better show than what we've been getting recently. So bravo to them. I liked the cliffhangers. And in terms of Batista, he doesn't need to be there every week, especially right now with Fastlane on the horizon. You can sort of have him and Hunter play cat and mouse. They can exchange barbs on social media and sort of heat the feud up that way until WrestleMania, and then probably about 2 to 3 weeks outside of WrestleMania, then you have Batista there.
We have 5 Raws left before WrestleMania. 5. That's it. Yeah, 5 Raws. That's not a lot.
Means they need to get Bray Wyatt back. Stat!
So yeah, so that's where we are. So I have him on the show on the 11th, maybe? Maybe he's there next week. Either he's there next week or on the 11th, and then I won't have him back till either the 25th and also on the 1st. So you get them 3 out of 5 weeks. That's not bad. That's what you need to do, because it's not... Hunter and Batista is not the main match. The women are.
Yep.
And then Brock's going to be back. As well. So. The road's heating up. Maybe we'll
On our way.
Maybe we'll even get a Taker. Who knows? But this has been the Raw Post Show. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we are every single Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. But Thursday night, we're live at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We're going to be doing something a little different on Thursday. Normally we talk wrestling, but Thursday night we will be talking all about Season 8 of Fortnite. That's right. It's dropping Thursday. We're going to go in. We're going to see if we can't get an analyst or two involved. And yeah, we're just going to, you know, hit you up with all the updates and map changes and all that good happy stuff. But we'll also be doing news notes, NXT, SmackDown, all your favorites. It's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, we're going to give you a little mixture, and then we'll transition into Fortnite with friends right afterwards. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. Go back and listen to this past Saturday's episodes with the hashtag Lone Jobber's birthday bash without Lone Jobber, even though he showed up at the tail end. That's a long hashtag. So, check that out. CBRadioLive.com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio returns to preview Fastlane. 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Follow and subscribe. And if you're like the Fortnites we just mentioned, use the creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop. Because it's a thing. It's on your screen. You can just do it. Do the thing. Your turn.
He's made custom videos for everything, but this concerning this. Please just use the code so he'll stop pouring himself out. It's really sad.
Do the thing.
He gets sluttier every day, y'all. Just use the code. Rockin' Sock item shop. Please do the thing. We're trying to help him here. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LANSWARD.
And she feeds my ideas. Anyway, this has been the Raw Post Show presented by GirlWork.net and MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. Right here along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Streaming live right here. Twitch.tv/WTLive. And streaming here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Inside this pit of danger, I swallowed down a thousand years of anger.
WildTalkRadio.com.